I have been excited for this episode for quite some time because I have loved our partnership with Goodwill Industries of Southern Arizona since the moment it started. Every single day, Goodwill shows up to provide jobs and training for people to gain skills and achieve independence. They are, to me and to many, a light of hope, sustainability, and resiliency in our community and around the world. Hello, I'm Gina Murphy Darling, and this is Down to Earth Tucson. Our main topic for today is sustainable business and responding to a pandemic, catching up with Goodwill of Southern Arizona. So you can imagine what they had to go through since they are a retail, they are a donation center, and then the world stopped. So before we jump in, let me start with shining a very bright spotlight on our guest today, who is yet another blessing in my life that has become so much more than our partnership with Goodwill. By day, Matthew Flores is Director of Marketing, Goodwill Industries of Southern Arizona, and has been at the company for over 8 years. That in and of itself is startling to me because it seems like only yesterday. Mm-hmm. But there's a bit more I want to share, and I think it's interesting as to how what I'm going to share with you has been couched the way that I couched it, because it's so Matthew. That's why I'm doing it. Starting as a social media specialist, Matthew worked his way up in the organization and has been proud to see Goodwill's presence grow in Southern Arizona, and grow it has. At Goodwill, growth means making more of a positive impact in the community, from the sustainable nature of reusing materials and goods that are already right here in our community, to creating life-changing programs to address the challenges people face in their day-to-day lives. This is the mindset and the place from which my friend Matt Flores comes. He also volunteers on the Disability and Rehabilitation Employment Awareness Month, or DREAM, that's a mouthful, Job Fair Planning Committee, and the Zero Waste Tucson Founding Committee. Lastly, he sits on the Pima College Fashion Design Advisory Committee as part of Goodwill's Sustainable Fashion Partnership with Pima College. And in his free time, and I think he does have some occasionally, he coaches soccer locally and is on the board of directors of Real Salt Lake Southern Arizona Soccer Club. Did I get that right?
Real Salt Lake, yeah.
Real?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that I should have gotten that little nuance. Okay, Matt. You know how excited I am to have you here.
It's like, excited to be here.
I smiled for the minute the doorbell rang, and I value this partnership. I know how busy you are, so I thank you. I really thank you. So I think the case could be easily made that Goodwill Industries are inherently sustainable by the nature of their business, which is resale. But you and I know that there's a lot more to it than that, and more layers when it comes to what it looks like in our community. So what I'd like to do is go more in depth and discuss what sustainability looks like at Goodwill Industries of Southern Arizona.
Okay.
And I love this because many, many people love numbers. They love metrics. They love benchmarking, none of which floats my balloon, but I know how important it is. Measuring real change really matters, especially as it relates to the sustainability space. So tell us a little bit about sustainability in action at Goodwill. Some of the numbers are rather mind-boggling.
So really, our founding charter was to take the excess from higher income, wealthy families and people in the community and convert that into jobs, either by reselling or originally refurbishing and then reselling those items. And that was back in 1912. We've developed and grown, obviously, over the years, spread across the country. Goodwill of Southern Arizona started here in Tucson, 1969, one location downtown, and has grown. So now we're looking at over 40 locations. So, and the
like, press pause, everybody, from one in 69 to over 40. So, yeah. Doing a good job.
Almost 500 people employed full-time with benefits. Obviously, our primary mission is workforce development, meaning that we're getting people employed, skilled up so that they can be employed at a level that is going to support and sustain their family and themselves. So that was the foundation. Obviously, in order to make those things happen, we have to get donations, which in and of itself is somebody being generous and then also deciding to reuse something instead of throw it away. So that's sustainable. And then we have a process, obviously, to honor and value that donation to then convert it into money that's going to be a program or somebody's job. So when that donation comes into us, we have either, if it's at a donation site, then it has to be sorted and then sent to a store. If it's at a store, it has to be sorted and priced. And again, we try to maximize the value while still being, you know, reasonable to the end shopper.
So it's still a deal.
Let's go
back to something you said, because I don't think you'll lose your train of thought. When you said when it was started, they would refurbish. Did I remember this correctly on a show ages ago, now almost a decade? Was it started by women? I think it was.
Well, it was actually founded by a minister, actually.
Okay.
Yes.
And the refurbishing, they sewed the clothes and fixed them.
And furniture as well.
And furniture. Okay.
Yep.
I wanted to just clarify that. So that was part of it.
Yep. So he actually left his mission in the church. Wanted to help people in another way. Now we're not affiliated with any church or denomination. We're just a 501c3 nonprofit.
Right.
But as far as those donations, when they come in, they get priced, they get distributed out on this floor, and then resold. So last year, just if you look at textiles, because I've tried to crunch some numbers, we resold over 2 million items. So it's
and I can tell you the Murphy Darling family contributed greatly to that. And I'm so not kidding.
Exactly. Yeah,
I know. 2 million.
Yeah, it's 2,009,403 articles of clothing.
To say the least. Yeah. I was doing the happy dance. Okay.
And I did that based on our highest price point per shirt, so or per item. So it's probably a higher number, but that was to be conservative. So that's just on the clothing side. And then we have housewares, we have furniture, we have toys, we have everything you can think of that is out there and in homes that has value. It eventually comes back to Goodwill, and then we resell that. So just in 1 year, last year, 33.5 million pounds diverted from the landfill. And we say diverted because it goes to us and then it's sold, but it eventually may still end up in the landfill.
It might, but there's multiple uses.
Exactly.
It's not just a single use, which is what the whole world needs to be aware of. We can't do single use anymore. Buy a cheap outfit and then donate it. Buy a good outfit and keep it forever.
Exactly.
So 33 million pounds diverted from the landfill, which is a big deal, especially today and going forward, eventually. I mean, it's hard in the Southwest to think we might not have any landfill space, but let's face it, folks, we don't want to be filling up desert land with landfill waste. So to me, 33 million pounds is a big number. And I'm having whirling dervish brain today, mm-hmm. So stay with me. Do you think that most people still think that Goodwill is pretty much a resale store? Or is it getting more? Because when I first started in the partnership with you, I had no idea about the myriad of programs you had. There's so many good programs that my donations and my shopping help fund, and I didn't know that.
So I think it's still one of our primary focuses as a marketing director.
We always want to get
that story out.
Yeah, yeah.
But I feel like Southern Arizona, at least, has made a shift. Partly because during COVID, they took away all of our marketing dollars. We were closed for months. So obviously we still wanted to make a positive impact on the community in the ways that we could. So with us being closed, we started donation drives for other missions, basically.
Right,
which I'd
really like to go into that in depth for a little bit. But back to the sustainability track. When you say you save 33 million pounds from going landfill. We got it.
Yep.
But can you do a little bit about when you're buying resale, you're saving water and mm-hmm. you're saving slaves from the labor and all of that stuff. So do you have any metrics at all on how much water you might have saved because people bought resale?
So being a desert person and being a desert community, water is obviously sacred to us. So 1.43 billion gallons of water.
Oh my gosh, how do you do that? I mean, just you don't have to tell, but it's like,
so
yeah, there's
just multiply
formulas.
The amount of articles that we diverted or that we resold last year by the amount of water it takes to basically
like an
produce
average piece of
a t-shirt.
Clothing.
Yeah, so
Got
I just
it.
The smallest article of clothing that we sell So it's probably higher than that. And then carbon footprint, if you're going to be shopping with us or any thrift store, really, you're reducing your carbon footprint by 75%. There's still obviously the component of you washing and drying your clothing, which is about 25%. And there's a small percentage of the transportation to the store. But production, spinning, dyeing, weaving, packaging, all those things are removed if you're going to shop at Goodwill. And they're also locally sourced. So it's in someone's closet down the road.
Right.
And then it's going to end up in your closet down the road.
It blows me away when I go, and we went to three of them on Sunday, and we were looking for a particular thing, which also cracks me up. It's like, it's not a retail store, it's resale, Gina. But we were looking, and sometimes we luck out, and believe me, James always finds something. So you think about there's a CO2 reduction, which is beyond measurable. I mean, it's almost immeasurable because of what people save. Like if I drove from here, say, to one of our malls instead of one of our Goodwills, which is really close. And then, so you're saving gas, helping the air, saving water by buying it. What other kinds of things can you do? Do you do there? I'm trying to think, like, we never take a bag, but I think you have the bags are compostable, the plastic bags. Most people just walk out with the stuff.
Yeah. We also, for recycling, e-waste. If you have computers or electronics that you can no longer use, we partner with Dell to recycle those responsibly.
Right.
So that's another component. I mean, basically, yeah, I mean, everything that you're going to drop off to us is saving vital resources. It's something that doesn't have to be produced. It doesn't have to be shipped. It doesn't have to be packaged. And then you talk about all the electricity, you know, the carbon footprint that goes into it. I mean, it's a multiplier. So, and then you're supporting your community. You're helping people here in Southern Arizona, or if you're in wherever you are, there's probably a Goodwill in your town. That money is going back to support people with job training. Or for us, we have youth centers that had, I think, 4,600 visits last year, just our youth centers alone. And our job and resource centers had 8,500 visits.
I mean, we're talking big numbers here. It's really amazing stuff. I mean, it is. It's big numbers. It's funny because yesterday I did a pre-record with Magda Verdugo from the YWCA. And you mentioned something in reporting what you're doing or disclosing about it's a whole new thing that I love, and I want to just catch on to it and point it out. You're not trying to get people to make minimum wage. You're trying to help retrain them to have a livable wage.
Correct.
And Magda talked about that too. It's like, if you're in business of training people to get a minimum wage, you don't need to do it really, because there are minimum wage jobs. You can't shake a stick anywhere in this town or anywhere I've gone to travel since COVID where they're not looking, but that's not a livable wage. So you try to provide skills and training and continuing education so people can actually live on what they make. Is that accurate?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we do have entry-level roles for retail.
Yes, I know. That's the reality.
Yep. On top of that, I mean, if you look at the average entry-level retail job, they're not going to get full benefits. We offer full benefits. We offer full time.
That's huge.
We offer tuition reimbursement. We offer retirement matching. We have auxiliary pet insurance. I mean, a wide variety of things. Basically,
Did you really say pet insurance?
We do.
I'm not going to gloss over that. Bam.
Yeah, no, and there's a couple other auxiliary insurance that they offer that, I mean, obviously that people can opt into. But yeah, we try to, whatever the needs are of our community and our staff, we try to fill them and support
just
them as much as possible.
Offering benefits and to not have a lot of employers, and you know this, you can't work over 29 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're going to get you. It's so you're doing the opposite. You're offering people 40 hours benefits, and that helps to move people to a livable wage, regardless of what they're making, because it's all those other things that kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me started. So let's get into some of the other amazing stuff. I put that in caps and exclamation points when I was preparing for the show yesterday. You run programs. If you want to highlight a few of them, that's great.
Yep.
But I also want to hear, I do want to hear those. And then I want to talk about some of your partnerships. Okay. So local job centers, talk about some of these.
So local job centers, we just reopened one of them. It used to be an adult reentry center. We moved it back to a job center. And the reentry center is now at our headquarters. So six. And they are free resources to the community. They're staffed Monday through Friday, 9 to 4. They're open till 5, but they don't accept walk-ins later.
Right.
And they're going to give you access to a computer, help with the resume. If you need assistance with other resources like transportation or housing, because really those barriers are going to keep people from finding employment and then sustaining and keeping that job.
Yep.
So they're really focused on addressing barriers before they become a barrier. And they have lots of ties in the community with employment. And then obviously we have jobs available for people that are looking to enter retail or transportation or IT. There's so many different facets to Goodwill. One of the programs we're pushing right now is a young adult reentry program. So it's youth, basically 18 to 24, that have been in the juvenile or adult justice system at any point in their lives. That's parole, probation, incarcerated. And
you mean you believe in giving them a second chance?
Yeah, we...
Wow, what a concept. Instead of paying for them to be in prison the rest of their life. Excuse my sarcasm. Yes, this is a good thing for everybody, especially the taxpayers.
And this is the first iteration of our reentry program was focused on adults. And that program actually won the second chance program of the year. They had an 85% placement rate and
wow.
I think like a 4% recidivism rate.
Wow.
Which is way below the standard percentages when you're dealing with that population. And what's really cool is some of our graduates of that program have now gone back and are volunteering and giving back and working in reentry programs themselves to help people find that pathway
that
they
found.
Yeah. It's that is the tearjerker stuff. When you see people that have been in jail for a decade, 15, 20 years, and they talk about the cycle, and not all of them for 15 years straight.
Right. In and out.
Yeah.
Right.
And just really, they need a foothold. They need someone that cares, that wants to give them a chance and not judge them. So that's really been. It's great to see.
It's great to hear about too. And I remember, you might even remember her name. I can assure you, I do not. And I'm sorry because I interview a lot of guests who sat in that very chair in our other studio. And she is what I would describe as she was a tough cookie.
Spunky. Athiana is who you're talking about.
Spunky is a good word. And I was a little scared because she's very bold. She's very confident. I ended up just thinking she's just all that. And what she said, in my words, are people don't give up on you there. They're like a dog with a bone. Try to get it out of their mouth. And she told about, was it your brother?
Yeah.
Your brother. See, mm-hmm. I do remember it. It was probably at least 5 years ago when she said he just wouldn't give up on me. And he went to my house and I didn't show up for graduation and on and on. It's that type of culture that I think comes from pillars of leadership that makes me a big fan.
Yeah.
That I sound a little bit goofy, but besides being a very, very good customer, there's a lot of other of the social justice pieces that I think are so admirable and worth putting a spotlight on.
Yeah, I'm really glad you brought her up because she's actually working in our young adult reentry program as like a intern, essentially. She's paid, but we're actually trying to get her placed at Pima or have recommended Pima to pick her up because we think there's a role there that she'd be really, really good at.
And she was going down a really bad path, according to her, a very bad path. And she got plucked out and said, no, you're not going down that path. Just look over here. And I remember she was working for someone that was elderly and she was a in-home caregiver and had a great relationship. So it's wonderful to see the evolution of that. That's I'm glad I brought her up too. It's like, yeah, I remember this. That's one of the programs at work. So you have the youth programs, the job centers, and then should we go into some of the community initiatives? Because you're involved in, you're the prince of quite a lot.
We do a lot of stuff. We stay busy for sure. I'm actually learning to establish boundaries for myself. just because I do say yes.
Really?
Sometimes too much. But yeah, no, we do a lot. Dream is an initiative that's actually around the corner. It's coming up on the 21st, I believe. And there's a dreamjobfair.org if you go to the website there.
Okay.
You can access that. We're doing a virtual job fair. Basically, it works like you mentioned earlier. It's individuals with disabilities, any type of disability, physical or mental. And the whole purpose is to get them opportunities to be employed. It's a great, great mission. It's a collaboration with multiple agencies and organizations across Tucson. So that's one of the cool things about Tucson is that we are very
really
giving,
is.
Caring,
and work
community.
Together. Mm-hmm. We play well with others.
Yep.
Yeah, I have a little bag that I take around that says drinks well with others, but we play well with others too.
Yep.
It's like, yeah, I like that. But go a little bit more into when I talk to you a lot, but some of the programs that you did were as a result of COVID.
Okay, yeah,
because you did some amazing things, and I wonder what the status of some of them are, like around PPE and medical supplies. Tell us what you did or what you're doing.
So I mentioned briefly that during COVID, Goodwill essentially shut down. Our stores shut down. So subsequently, we didn't have any marketing dollars or really things to do for marketing. Obviously, we put on different hats to help sustain the organization, going around to donation centers, whatever it may be. But we still wanted to make a positive impact on the community. There were people doing life-saving work and doing it without adequate equipment in our local hospitals. So we just started a PPE donation drive, collecting anything from the community. We contacted Pima County Health Department to see what they would have needed. KN95 masks, gowns, materials for gowns, sanitizer, gloves.
It was such a crisis.
Yeah, we ordered 40,000 gloves, and then it ended up just giving them to the county. We collected, you know, thousands of donations from the community. That was probably our primary role for a couple weeks, right when the pandemic hit, was just collecting that stuff and then getting it distributed back to the health department down on Keno. We also worked with PAC because there was a shortage of foster homes, and a lot of people were dropping off their dogs because they had lost their jobs, whatever it may be. So we started a drive to collect any dog food, dog beds, bones, toys, whatever that a dog may need, or a cat, and started that collection drive as well. Then we partnered with Mending Souls.
Yeah, I want to know about that.
So Mending Souls is a small nonprofit, I guess, and they work with other organizations. They get materials, raw goods from us. Like, we donated T-shirts primarily. That's how it started. We started with T-shirts, and then they were making them into masks. When the pandemic hit, that's what they were
got
making
it.
Them.
Got it. Okay. Yep. Okay, so I didn't know that. And then this is near and dear to my heart. I had a mother-in-law. I always have a story, you know that. And I feel so comfortable with you on the air with me. My mother-in-law was in a wheelchair. She had polio.
She was
a polio survivor.
Yeah.
And you do things with wheelchairs. And my Rotary Club, Rotary International, does things because you don't think about if you need one and you can't have one. That means you have to crawl, and people do crawl, or they can't get up, so things become worse and they become more debilitated. So what about the wheelchair donations? How does that work?
Southern Arizona Adaptive Sports had reached out to us. It started with just a few one-off requests for mobility devices, wheelchairs. Then their president had reached out and wanted to do a partnership with us. We obviously at the time we were reselling wheelchairs. We understood that there was a definite need. So we just started pretty much all the wheelchairs we were getting, started donating to them. It's over 20 a month, more than that. They come and pick up a truckload every single month. They're focusing on Tucson initially.
Right.
They addressed a lot of those needs, but those are continuing ongoing needs. But then we also started working with a gentleman separate from that, reached out to me about doing mobility support in Mexico. and some of the low-income communities there. And we at first tried to do it. Then we just connected them with Southern Arizona Adaptive Sports because that was already some. They have a system in place.
You know, I watched some videos when we were doing the wheelchair project for Rotary, which is ongoing because someone gets it in their soul and they keep going. It can be 10, 15 years. And I did see little kids without limbs dragging themselves on a piece of cardboard. And adults, but, you know, of course, it's the kid factor that gets you, but it really affected me a lot to see. We just don't have any idea, most of us, especially if you're listening to a podcast on your iPhone. You're not worried about if you have to get a wheelchair. You'll figure it out, or a relative will get it for you. So it's those things for the unseen and the incredible needs that I just say hats off to you. What about another favorite subject for me? Diapers.
Yeah.
Because I know you were collecting diapers.
So that started with Pio Decimo. Met a really cool lady, Verma, over there and started supporting them and just with diapers that we were getting. Because for whatever reason, when we started that PPE drive, adult diapers started coming. That wasn't something we specified, but they just came. And lots of them. So we actually...
lots of them. Good to know.
We filled the need for Pio Decimo. And then we reached out to the diaper bank. And that we haven't been getting them as much anymore. So that's kind of faded off. So as the PPE, as those needs have stopped. They've stopped being donated to us. But yeah, that was a great mission, great initiative that we did. The food bank... we were doing donations for them as well, and we do those seasonally, and then Toys for Tots.
Working with everyone. It's like, just think of the organizations you mentioned, and I know that I've met with the people from the diaper bank, and it's shocking and sad to know that some of the greatest need is among adults who are living on $800 a month Social Security, and they need adult diapers. And when I think about it, when you were talking, you could have saved them and sold them. I'd buy diapers at Goodwill for my little baby. I mean, I would. So it's another, to me, exemplary of another really good partnership. Yep. I love it. Okay.
Another one that's not really community-based but was to support our employees was we partnered with Rescue Me Wellness, which is a local woman-owned urgent care organization. They were really proactive during COVID. And so we partnered with them to basically support our staff with any COVID testing needs. So nobody at Goodwill during COVID paid for a COVID test. We spent over $63,000. Anytime anyone felt a symptom, any type of symptom, we sent them there to get tested.
When your stores were closed.
Well, yeah. And then when our, most of that actually started happening as ways to keep our staff safe when we did reopen.
When you open, okay.
Yeah. And so when we did reopen, we took it very seriously. We tried to follow the science as the science evolved. So initially, donations, they talked about 72 hours, right? We were quarantining every single donation for 72 hours.
Oh my gosh.
So that was
a little bit extra work.
Yeah, warehouse space.
Oh my gosh.
And that was an astronomical change. And we just had to come up with a whole new process, you know? There was no contact. We laid out boxes, basically donation boxes, labeled them so people could then pre-sort them. And then we quarantined them for 3 days before somebody actually did a deeper sort. And so that's just an example of how it changed every component, every facet of what we did, probably 2 to 3 times as the science changed, as the circumstances changed. And that's something that I was very proud of with how we handled it. We definitely leaned into it. We didn't try to ignore it and say that it wasn't real and act as if it wasn't going to make an impact on the lives of the people that work for us or the organization. So we were strict about having masks. That was obviously an issue with having so many locations and in outlying communities, some employee safety was another thing that we had to consider. So just a wide variety. Some of it unfortunate, some of the tone and dialogue that it created was unfortunate. But it really, I could see that Goodwill cares about their people. just in the fact of, I mean, $63,000 in testing alone, and then masks and all that stuff we provided for all the staff.
So. I had no clue. Like, I really had no clue. This is like shock on Mrs. Green's world face. I didn't know that you did that. I'm not surprised because a lot of people I know stay there a really long time. Mm-hmm. And that speaks much more loudly than what a CEO might say about what it's a place to work. How long do your people stay? That's where the rubber hits the road. So there's a lot of, not just staff retention, but passion. I've done the tours, I've visited, I've done things. And I go to, did I mention I go to a lot of Goodwills? So let's end with two things. One is, tell us a little bit in depth about the fashion partnership, because that sparks joy in me. I've been to some of the fashion shows. It should be the way of the world. That's what the fashion show should be like. So tell us about your partnership with Pima Community College.
So Pima Community College started as a business partnership, just like you and I, and now friends. Nancy Spaulding's a really amazing lady. She's out there. She runs the fashion design college and is in teaches their fashion design class. She reached out to us and wanted to do a sustainability project, and we loved it. We thought it was right down our lane. It's not only, you know, sustainable fashion, but it's also developing skills and talent in the community for hopefully someone, one of those young adults is going to start their own business, and multiple of them have, and then that's an employment pathway, so that's workforce development. But so we gave $25 gift cards to every student in the class, and Nancy basically comes up with a concept. They go and buy their raw materials from us, and they upcycle a runway-ready outfit, and they come up with their own concept as far as what the line will be and the color scheme and all of that. She goes through the fashion side of it with them. And then we give them a presentation about the sustainability and how you're supporting the community. But more than anything, it's just giving them the resources to then express their creativity. We follow up with them.
It's delightfully fun, too.
Yeah, interviews.
It's like really fun.
Oh, it's amazing. And so there's been multiple. And Erin from Applause Lingerie, I think she was on your show.
Yes, she was.
She started her fashion path in that class. Four or five students now have their own line and or company and are reselling. But yeah, once that each class finishes their project and their line, they get to present it at a fashion show. It was at the Fox Theater, outgrew it. And we were moving over to the casino prior to COVID, but then COVID hit. But also glad you brought it up, because we just got a text today that they are going to go back in person this year and do a runway.
You better initially, keep it was me in the loop.
I will for
sure. Or I'll be really upset. And my friend Leda will want to be in it too, because she's still designing and doing fashion shows in Puerto Rico, and she's 80-something years old. She's flying to France in May for a fashion show. I kid you not. So there's something here, and she just will want to know. She went with me to one of them. So, but that's like, I want everybody to press pause here. There's so much bad news. There is so much bad news, and it gets me. Believe me, someday you get the bear, and someday the bear gets you. But when I have Matthew Flores in my life, I get the bear. And I feel like that's fun. We have a lot of fun together. Is there anything I forgot? Because we're staying really pretty close to time. I'm proud of us.
No, I mean, just...
Did we talk about Second Chance? We did.
Yeah. We have Second Chance, mentioned Dream. Always, so if you have young adults or young people in your life that are looking for a summer or after school job, there's lots of opportunity there. Just to kind of give you a view of that landscape, normally they have 7,000 youth apply in Pima County, and they had around 700 apply.
Oh my gosh.
This year. So
yeah. It's still really, really, really rough out there. And the one thing that we would get probably a little bit reprimanded if we didn't bring it up, which we did not, is on April 16th, all being in a big zero waste day, the first for Tucson. And I'm not exactly sure when this show is coming out, but I'm sure it's before. Yep. The air date is April 7th. So Tucsonans, people, listen to what Matt's going to say about this amazing first ever event in Tucson, Zero Waste Tucson.
Another example of Tucson playing nice together.
Partnerships.
The county.
And having fun.
Mrs. Green, the city, and Goodwill. As well as other Recycle, Cero, a lot of really great organizations.
And Chapman's going to buy the lunch.
Chapman's supporting with Bookman's volunteers and lunch.
Beacon.
Beacon is doing shredding. So basically anything you can think of,
it's e-waste.
E-waste, yep.
Evolve, yep. Which used to be Rise Equipment.
Bikes, old bikes with Bikus.
Yep.
Clothing or small housewares with Goodwill. Recycle's collecting metal and scrap metal. So it's a zero, Tucson's first zero waste day. We're trying to do it around Earth Day. So it's April 16th. I don't know if you have the address there in front of you. I don't have
it's
it offhand.
It's 921, but we'll put the link in the show notes.
Okay.
And it's on our website. It's on our Facebook page as a featured event. And it's on Park Avenue for people that are listening in Tucson. This will only be relevant to them near where the newspaper is. It's at the Public Works Building. And we've done it. We picked there because it's going to be strictly a drop-off. And there's not going to be tables and, you know, walking around, still being very COVID-minded. But also, they've done it unbelievably successfully in Tempe. And it get thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds of waste. And they started doing it once a year. Then they do it twice. Now they're doing it four times a year. Because people say, oh, I'm going to save that for the Zero Waste Day. Which is the culture that we're hoping that we can promote for doing that. And when you talk about the partners, like, you know, I called Chapman and said, will you buy lunch for like 30 volunteers? And they do. That's the Tucson community. Which it's not always easy when you go to a bigger city or you don't know who the owner is or whatever. So we have, and I don't think I've brought this up yet. Did I mention we have fun? Because I'm at the point in my life where if it isn't fun, call somebody else.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
It's just, and we do have a lot of
and
fun.
And I'm learning that from you.
Yeah, that's right. Because it doesn't feel like work. I'm just going to share, we went to lunch, Matthew and I, to talk about things about a week ago. At Flora, which is a locally owned restaurant by our friend Nate Aries. And I just looked at him and I said, is this supposed to be called work? Because we were working, but it's the way it should be. So if you have nothing else to share, I have a thank you for being wonderful you, for your service to the community, and for being a stellar representative for all that Goodwill Industries of Southern Arizona represents and brings to our community and its residents. I'm really proud to call you my friend.
Thank you. I'm proud to be here, proud to be your friend. Only thing I have to add is that it's TucsonZeroWaste.com.
TucsonZeroWaste.com. Good, good, good.
We got to go check out that website.
Very good. Thank you for that clarification. Thanks for being here. And everybody, think resale, not retail. And I say it like with excitement and urgency and passion because it's so much more fun. It's guilt-free shopping and you're spending money to support causes. That's just like a win-win-win-win-win-win-win-win-win. And maybe someday we'll come back. I just want to do a little teaser because we're going to start an international project with collecting yarn for women in Bali who were devastated by COVID. You talk about here and you think about just all the fast food restaurants that people could go in and get a drink if they needed to. And there's so much food waste that you could literally, I hate to say this, but you could eat out of garbage cans. In places like Bali, there was nothing. It shut down in a day, and the only industry they have is tourism. So we're going to start a yarn project with my Rotary Club of Tucson Sunrise. So it's another partnership in the works. Stay tuned, everybody.
Yeah.
Okay.
Excited about it.
Everybody, make it a great, green, consciously lived day. Thanks for being a part of my world.